Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for another episode recap of the Challenge USA. Something a little bit different in this episode recap. We are actually kind of combining two episodes in one, but two different recording times. So you're going to hear us today. This is actually Wednesday, September 27th, full peek behind the curtain as we are recording this episode late in the week. So too late to get it out to you in time. So you're going to hear us recapping episode 10, and then you're going to hear at another time, jumping ahead to recap episode 11 and talk through this all. So with that all said and all out of the way, of course, I am one of your hosts, Matt Liguori, alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, what's up?
Hello, hello. I am excited to be talking to you from the past, apparently, at this point, talking about a pretty good episode of the Challenge. You know, we're getting to it a little late in the week, so we figure let's just go ahead and release them both at the same time. Didn't want to skip what ultimately is potentially a very big episode in Challenge history. Who knew that Challenge USA season 2 would have any like historical episodes with the potential retirement of Wes? So didn't want to just throw that into like a double recording, but you know, so we broke it out into its own recording, but back-to-back podcast, here you go.
Right, so to anybody listening, this is all just one long, oh my gosh, I hope not over 2 hour podcast. We will make sure that that is not the case. It will be under 2 hours, just like any Matt Liguori podcast should be. But yeah, I guess like to jump right into that, it is wild to me that, as you just said, Challenge history potentially, which we're also going to get to this. Don't know if it actually is or not. I have high doubts about things that are being claimed to be, you know, last seasons and whatnot. But the fact that, like, theoretically that this would be something that takes place on an entirely different network than the network that this person was created, that made their history, made their legacy. Anybody that's watching The Challenge proper and going through all of these seasons on, like, an MTV Paramount binge or whatever it is, may not see the season unless they find that Reddit post that tells them what order to go in. And then they go, where's Wes?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. Part of me just kind of thinks, like, the timing is the timing, and maybe that's, you know, how it goes, and he has just decided that this is really it. I mean, everyone else has the same theory of, like, all right, we'll see you for season 40, Wes. I think, they throw enough money. Could be a ploy, even, as to, like, well, I really can't come back unless that paycheck is right. So, you know, if that is the ultimate strategy, good for Wes. Great. Go ahead. But I don't know. I'm, like, kind of buying it, but I bought it with Leroy, too, so who knows?
You bought it with Leroy. Yeah, I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't because it held true. Also, I'm going to ask you live right here. Do I sound off?
Just, like, a little scratchy, but it could be my headphone. My headphone is having problems, I think. Like, so who knows?
Okay, well, I don't see anything that looks off, and, like, my things are all plugged in, right? So
then it's me.
I hope it's you.
Just checking. Bring new headphones.
Yeah. They're so cheap, and yet we take forever as human beings to get new headphones.
Well, I order like 3 sets at a time, and because I'm like, oh, then I'll have backups. And then I lose the backups. I'm like, where are they?
Good, good. Have you ever been an AirPods for podcasting person?
No. I'm rarely an AirPods person. I have them, and I'm just like, what if I lose them? What if they die? What if I forget to charge them?
Grow up.
No, you'll see me walking around the city with wired headphones like a loser.
That is insane, but okay, to each their own. With that all said, I don't know that I heard what you were saying while I passed it off to you because I was worried about my headphone settings and my mic settings, but just the Wes of it all. We'll get into it. We'll get into everything about Wes going out here, the season that he had, and if this is or is not his goodbye, feuding with Josh Martinez, and he'll tell you not actually feuding with Josh Martinez on his way out. There was in the past, like, 24 hours, a back and forth with Wes and Laurel on Twitter. Laurel talking about how Wes loves this game too much. There's no way he's not showing up again, maybe not for 40, but you're going to miss it and you'll be back. And then Wes is bouncing back with, oh, who's more obsessed with me, Laurel or Josh? And Laurel was getting back to making fun of him, saying that she's fully not obsessed with him. He's obsessed with himself. What did she say? I'm looking for the tweet. She said, I tweet on your BS actions and behavior twice since 2009. That's hardly obsessed. But this is the ego I'm talking about that you need to shed, or don't, because it's why you keep getting sent home early from the game.
Ooh, I wouldn't call this necessarily early, but okay. I don't know. The only good thing about the delayed airing of All-Stars 4 for me is that I have to deal with Laurel less, so I am not appreciating her popping up here in the Challenge USA.
Well, she is supposed to be on 39 in some capacity.
No! I forgot!
You're not getting, I mean, that'll be what, one episode, two episodes, so, you know, not a big deal, but.
It's a big deal to me.
Sorry. Let me pull up, while I'm scrolling through the Reddit. This is your bag, usually, but I'm on the Reddit right now, so I'm just scrolling through and looking at things to talk about, that are aside from all my notes about this episode. Elimination.
Two episodes isn't enough to talk about.
exactly, and still trying to make sure this is under 2 hours. The elimination record update from Reddit user Drew has a Reddit. Sounds like Rob is a podcast. Wes is now 16-11 in eliminations. He ends his 2-win streak, going 1-for-1 in eliminations this season. He beat Dusty, and then he just lost to Chris. So he now ends his challenge career with a 5-5 individual elimination record tied with Jordan, and the highest win record period with or without the Champs versus Stars eliminations.
Interesting.
Chris is now 3-0. Cassidy is now 2-0, and Alyssa Snyder is now 0-1.
Interesting. All right. Well, I am curious to see if that changes throughout, but 16-11. It's funny because I feel like those stats are padded with all those like exiles from Fresh Meat with Casey. So maybe Wes is like not as good an elimination as we think.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of losses in there that, you know, or maybe not a lot, but a handful that you can, you know, point at and say not entirely his fault. But probably also almost as many wins that he's won with partners that, you know, aren't entirely him. So that's where the 5-5 individual record comes in.
Did he beat Dusty?
Good question.
Who knows?
50% of the male cast that have been eliminated at this point have gone home from Chris.
Wow.
3 of 6. It's the most elimination wins of any male Survivor contestant, U.S. or non-U.S. Jay and Logan both have 2 wins each. And he's now reached the group of 20 past competitors to win 3 one-on-one eliminations in the same season.
Ooh. I don't want Zach. Look, I was rooting against Horacio to break the record. I don't want... God, Zach, I just scrolled by him.
Zach.
I don't want Chris to break it either. Give that record to Sarah Grayson. It's hers.
I think she'll be okay. There's not much time left in the season anyway.
She could be wholly problematic for all I know, but I
imagine.
Yeah, who knows? Did I know what was happening? At, you know, as a mere fetus watching the show, sneaking it. No, but who knows?
Chanel is on Twitter, and this is the last thing that I'm going to read before we actually get into the episode, and then maybe I'll bounce back because this is kind of fun. When we inevitably get to our Someday Feedback show, we will have a lot to talk about with social media that we usually pass by. Chanel is dealing with haters on Twitter right now who are claiming that A, she is boring on the challenge because she hasn't had a lot of confessional time. I think she has as many confessionals as Amanda does so far this season. And people who are just saying that she's all talk because, you know, she's in this strong girls alliance. I'm making air quotes if, you know, that's what people are putting onto her. Meanwhile, you know, she hasn't been into elimination yet. And she's got all this to say, like, at the end of the episode talking about Cassidy. Like, I'll show you why you're a layup. Like, okay, well, go ahead. Because Cassidy's 2-0 and you haven't gotten in yet. I mean, I still love Chanel, but...
Look at you shading.
I'm just saying. I mean, I very much am enjoying Chanel. I'm not out here, you know... joining the choir of people that are sending her shade and hate on Twitter by any means. I'm excited to see how the season finishes for her, what she can do. She's in this group that's labeled strong women. So I'm just ready to see it. I mean, Cassidy's shown it twice now. Desi got into an elimination. Michaela's winning a challenge. So Chanel, let's do something.
I have heard amazing things about Chanel, that she's like so much fun and she's so personable and she's so great. And I feel like we see glimpses of that, but I don't know why both shows at this point have chosen just completely not to highlight her. Maybe like it's just confessional is not where it shines, but she seems great. I don't doubt that she's strong. She seems strong in the challenges, like not the, you know, the like team challenges so far. So I feel like she is like not going to be any type of slouch, but I don't know. Like, we always say there's no like winner's edit on the challenge, but I would be pretty surprised if Chanel ends up winning this season.
That's entirely fair. The same amount of confessionals as Amanda Garcia to this point. It's really hard to see it. I probably could have seen it for Alyssa Snyder before she went home over Chanel at this
Yeah, I
point.
agree. Not like in the real time. In the real time, I'm betting on Chanel like 1
Oh,
billion
absolutely.
to
It's
1
yeah,
against
no, just fully edit.
Alyssa,
Fully in the edit. She's of all these people left, like her entire story is just being in that alliance. Desi had content in the beginning of the season. Michaela's had consistent content every single week. Tori doesn't need a specific, you know, story of the season. If she goes on to win, it's like, well, I made this alliance with the stronger women, and this is, you know, this is why I got to the end and won this season. Michelle, I think we don't know what's going on with her ending here.
Who
We'll
knows?
see. Okay, so this episode, if we're ready to actually get into it all,
I guess we could talk about the episode.
it was fun. It was good. I liked it.
Why are you avoiding it?
No, I liked it.
Okay.
It was good. It was fun.
All right.
It was a little quicker paced because we have two eliminations to get to.
True.
So before we get to the daily challenge itself, we only have like two quick hits. And honestly, I'm tempted to, unless you say otherwise, just pass over like every little bit of Tyler and Alyssa in this episode because I've been sick of talking about them all season.
Didn't take a single note.
Okay, good. And even in this episode, like every time that there was Tyler and Alyssa content, it was just, hey, look, they still like each other. Hey, look, they're hugging. Hey, look, they're kissing. Hey, look, they're caring for each other. Hey, look, great.
This has been, I'm not going to call them the B word, but I just feel like there has been no content here. Like, you know, we usually like an innocent showmance, but this doesn't even feel like that. I feel like it's just there's really nothing.
It's so bad. And it's like they're showing them so consistently just to, you know, they've made it far enough in the season that I guess they're deserving of having like the audience understand who they are and why they're here and what they're doing here. But like, I still think we've gotten more of it than we need to. Like, Chanel's still here. Give some of that airtime of the showmance to her. But it's at the end of the day a CBS product, and you know, to be any kind of surprise that Tyler Crispin and his current showmans, or that Alyssa Snyder, who is now, you know, 2 for 2 on shows and showmances, are getting this specific type of content, not a surprise at all. So that's that. But the two scenes that were a little bit more worthwhile are the Survivor group getting back together at the beginning of the episode and kind of you know, giving Chris like a slap on the wrist and saying like, all right, you did a bad job, you did a bad thing, but you're back, so I guess let's all get back together.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because even in confessional, they're saying, like, yeah, Chris is a survivor number, but that doesn't really mean much when we can't trust him at all. And they blatantly are telling him that. They're like, look, like, let's start over with, like, honesty. But I don't know, unless Chris was winning, I don't know how much I really saw this as a, like, fresh start for them.
Yeah, Chris is, you know, I'm going to take it on the chin. I'm going to try to move forward. I mean, honestly, I don't really know what he it's hard to convey. Just like the only thing that I can understand, or the thing that I can mostly understand from what these people are saying, is that Chris did a bad job playing the house. Everybody felt bad about him. I get that. Everybody said it. It's hard to just be like, you know, why would I not believe them at that point? It's just like weird because I feel like we didn't see it very much. Like I know they showed us a couple different flashbacks of other people talking about it, and there was like the one scene of Chris talking to Michaela, I think, about, you know, how he was feeling, and then maybe saying something else to someone else. I don't know. It was just like, to me, it was no different than the way that anybody else plays the game. It's just he's the outcast of the house right now, so all the attention's on him.
I don't know. I feel like there were scenes of him going around and being like, "Well, why not Michelle? Why not Chanel? Why not Cassidy?" Like, you know, he was really trying to make it a girl's day, throwing every single Survivor girl under the bus. So I feel like it was decently well explained, to be honest. We could have seen more earlier, but in that one episode, it was like all out there.
But like, what else do you expect from somebody whose back is literally against the wall? Like, nowhere else to turn.
I don't know. Throw Tori. Throw one Survivor girl.
I
Throw the least
guess.
connected Survivor girl. Like that's what you do, if anything. Throw Alyssa, throw some, you know, someone under the bus.
Yeah. He didn't seem to make too big of a, dent in all of these relationships. You see, after he gets thrown in again a little bit later on in this episode, Michelle and Cassidy, maybe, coming in to give him the news and give him a hug.
Yeah, it was Michelle and Cassidy, and he was like, "Yeah, I knew, like it's fine." And then we get him like crying with like inspirational music and flashbacks of his family. I was like, "Oh my God." Like, are we gonna like beat me over the head with like Chris's like a rootable character this season?
Yeah, Chris Underwood. Well, look at who's left. Who
Oh.
else is there?
I'm very used to not rooting for anyone on a challenge season, so.
I know Josh is your number one right now, but you gotta have a number two.
Ooh, is Josh my number one right now?
Yes.
No, there are still women left on the show.
No, I meant on the men's side, but.
Oh, okay. Then probably.
I don't know. I gotta think by default of just I'm certainly not sitting here rooting for any of the challenge vets, and I'm gonna include Josh in that. I'm down to Chris and Tyler, and I'm not rooting for Tyler, so I'm rooting for Chris.
Okay, I think my number two might be Fessel.
Oh, okay. No, I just don't ever want to live in a world where he wins a challenge. He's gonna be insufferable.
Honestly, he's already insufferable. What's gonna change? I mean,
It'll
he'll
be
just be at the
worse.
yeah, but
Do you
like,
not
I don't
notice the
know.
difference in Tori when she was just like, I'm a badass in this game. I can win. I'm gonna prove it. And then now I'm a champ, and people don't want me here because I'm a champ. I'm a
I
champ. I'm a
have
champ.
found Tori insufferable outside of like 3 minutes of season 38, so I don't notice that big of a difference.
It's yeah. I don't want Fessel as a champ.
I like villains, and I think that Fessel has made a good villain.
I guess
Not this
of the
season.
different types of challenge villains we've had, he is one of the least actually offensive villains, so there's
Exactly.
that.
Yeah, he is not like wholly problematic. Like he's
Right.
annoying at points for sure. Like things that he does on Twitter, like, ugh, like I'm cringing, shut up. But he's not wholly problematic. He honestly is pretty boring this season. Like if this was the first
Just this
season, like
season, yeah.
never calling this back. I mean, he's
Only
like
this
kind
year.
of he's not like the most exciting person in general, but like content revolves around him generally.
Yeah. All right. So that's the Chris of it all and the Survivor of it all, for now. And yeah, how many times are we going to see Survivor flashbacks? Just about once every episode. So there's that. And then in Josh and Westland, we're seeing from the very beginning of this episode that Josh is going to struggle to make a decision in this episode to turn on Wes or not to turn on Wes because Wes is a strong finals competitor. And I don't know, where do we go with all this?
I mean, he's like, at some point, I'm gonna have to turn on Josh, like on Wes, like I'm gonna have to do it. It's like, all right, well, I guess it's this episode, probably.
Probably right now.
Yeah, Ed West being like, all right, well, Josh will never be my rival. It's like, well, I don't really feel like that was the tone of this conversation. So I guess you're gonna figure out that he's turning on you at least.
What season was that? Was like 34 or something when Josh was trying to, be like, Wes, like you're afraid of me,
It
or
was
you're
35. I
that sounds right. Total Madness, maybe. Yeah.
don't know.
Just that didn't happen. It wasn't gonna happen. I don't know why Wes is making it seem like Josh was trying to make that happen, because I didn't get that vibe. Wes getting some digs in here saying Josh wants to be a real challenger like Pinocchio, wanted to be a real boy.
I do think that's real though. Like, I think Josh is just like, I need to, like, Josh's goal is to make a final
Yeah,
here.
of course.
Which is why it's kind of like, I don't know. We can talk, like, is targeting West the best move in order to make a final here then?
Well, so that's what the cliffhanger at the end of the episode is really kind of letting us in on, maybe that was or wasn't the best call from Josh, because it is, I guess just get into this now, we're already on it, is, the whole the vets don't turn on each other thing. It happened a little bit earlier in the season where Corey and Fessy were saying, like, well, bananas, there's nothing we could have done to not have you be the one that went in. And they kind of hid behind that, there was nothing we could have done, whether we said your name or not. And that was still seen as like challengers turning on challengers, but it does seem like as time has gone on, they've been able to kind of, reconcile and get back on somewhat of the same page and keeping the vets strong together. The vets are always going to go into the season strong together, at least as a base of comfortability, to make themselves feel like they have a layer of protection throughout as far as they're able to take it with all of that. So, granted, now we're at the point where it's like, okay, you can understand that that is going to start to slip, But I guess to Wes's, credit, he's saying, well, there is still somebody in the game, Tyler Crispin, who you very easily could have voted for, and you decided to turn on me when there's still time there was still one more week that you could have given me here before you did that.
Yeah, especially because it feels like, I mean, I guess we're thinking probably four or five guys make the final. So, like, you could be that one guy that's in the vets that does not make the final ultimately, because Bananas, Wes, Fessel, Corey, probably stronger in elimination than Josh. If it comes down to one of them getting thrown in the last week, like, I'm sure they're going to be asking for Josh, most likely. So I guess you do open up the like fourth vet spot there, but I don't know. I think that Bananas is right that Josh is less likely to do it to him than Wes, but it almost feels like foreshadowing, like he's gonna do it.
I wouldn't mind.
Me neither.
I really wouldn't mind, but I don't know. Wes, leaves with this idea in his head of like, I really just want to know, what's going to happen to Josh. He made the move. He decided to turn. And are they all going to just let that happen, or are they going to do something about it and give him some, karma?
I kind of wonder if Wes announcing that this was his last season had any impact on that. Because if Josh feels like he's going to have to deal with Wes in the future with any regularity, maybe he doesn't make this move. And by announcing that, like, I'm going, you'll never see me again, like, you'll never have to deal with me, even if you betray me, like, is that maybe motivation for someone like a Josh, like a Michelle, even, to not necessarily stick by you as closely as they might otherwise if you were showing up on season 39? In
Sure,
theory,
absolutely.
you
It could
know,
be. You said no?
I said, you know, like.
Oh, I think you said no. Here's this whole
I
idea that I just had. No, I don't think so. No,
don't.
absolutely. I mean, it certainly is not hurting. If Corey was to be here and saying, all right, this is going to be my last season for a couple of years at the very least, because I'm going to go home and spend some time with my family. Maybe you do turn on him if you are afraid of him being in the final, which I don't know why you're afraid of him being in the final. But maybe you do, because it's, you got a couple of years until he's back, and then you have to worry 100%. So, but also, as far as Josh's current list in the house goes, Chris is already going into elimination, and he's close with Bananas, he's close with Fessel, he's close with Corey, and him and Tyler are big brother buddies through Casey. So Wes really does look like he's at the bottom of the list there, and I don't know what else Wes, is really expecting. I feel like you can kind of see it in his face and his expression. Like, he's not beyond hurt and upset, or like, not understanding it. He's like, eh, that's not what you said, Josh. You didn't say that earlier about how you can't beat me and blah, blah, blah. But like, Wes has to be smart enough to be like, yeah, no, this was a smart move.
For sure, but I think like he's also holding it together in terms of like, wow, again, this part of my life is ending. Like, let's not just hysterically cry here. And so, I think part of it could have been held together there.
Right. Let's talk about the challenge. It's called Go the Distance. And this was a quick and simple challenge to me. I liked that we just kind of got in and got out. What did you think of it?
I like this challenge. I felt like it was simple but effective. I think that it was set up fairly. I like that they even adjusted for height, allegedly. So I thought like it was fun to watch, but also very fair. So it was a top-notch challenge for me, actually.
Yeah, it's not like, oh my God, so exciting, like what's gonna happen? But just like, you can very simply understand, they have to jump off the platform, grab a baton, and then whoever makes it goes on to the next round, elimination style. And obviously, we see the mechanic of the challenge is that it gets harder as you go, because they get farther and farther away, which successfully drops more and more people out as you get further. I've no complaints. I'm not, raving best challenge ever, but I have no complaints on this one. It was an easy, quick watch, and we end up with Fessel and Michaela as our winners, with a big, big story of one Michaela Bradshaw throughout this one.
Yeah, to watch like multiple, like almost slow-mo segments of like, I can't do it. Oh no. To then just like, of course I'm gonna do it. Like, oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah, I got this. She got what, through two rounds before, I guess, I mean, look, hitting the water in such a hard way probably doesn't feel good the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth time. So after doing it twice, I can understand her being like, I really don't want to do that again. And obviously she ultimately does go, but she just froze for, a minute or two.
Which
She
is
got through it.
okay. Yeah, totally fine. I do wish that this was all in one. The only other thing I'll say about the challenge is I wish that it was all in one heat rather than like, all right, well, there's actually one extra guy, so this person's gonna go alone. Like, can we just like
Yeah.
made this a little bit longer, guys?
Right. When the women went in the first round, it was Michelle, Desi, Cassidy, Chanel, and Alyssa. And I was cracking up at Michelle. Honestly, it kind of was giving me like what's going to happen in the final. Michelle just running, jumping off the platform, flopping, and everybody else in it with a chance.
This is a Survivor challenge. Like, they do this regularly on Survivor. I was surprised. Like, go back. Has Michelle come across this before where she had to jump out and grab something, like falling into the water? Because I don't know. I was like, oh, the survivors will like be used to this by now.
You would think so. She went for it. I'm glad she can laugh at herself in confessional. She's like, I tried.
Honestly, better still than the trampoline performance the
Oh my God.
day. I don't know. I mean, Chanel did worse at, but I don't know if that was adjusted for height as well. So,
Is Michelle in a position right now where she needs to be winning, or she should worry about winning?
yes, yeah,
Just
I
every
think
week
so.
she should try to be
Yes,
getting
I
it.
think so. I mean, look at the Strong Girls Alliance. If you now look at, okay, let's say they win and Cassidy gets thrown in next week, who's the only other person not in there? Michelle. Michelle's going into elimination next week.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's just the only reason why I question it is because she is kind of in the middle between the Survivor Strong Girls and then, the Cassidys, and I don't know what her relationship was with Alyssa S. Just, she wasn't at the very bottom. Now she is of that group, but I don't know.
I
But
just think she
so
could have
now she
used
has to
it
win.
to set herself up. Like,
Yeah.
it just talk with like the Survivor girlies and like, I do you want me to throw in Alyssa in case you get voted in? Do you want me to throw in Tori? Like, I'll do you the solid, you do me the solid. Or like, I mean, realistically, she was throwing in Alyssa S, let's be honest. I don't think that she was making any type of big move against Tori there, but just like, I'll give you guys Alyssa and I won't like throw in Tori that you will have to go against. Like, use your leverage. And so I definitely think she should have tried to win, but I think, and especially from here on out.
For sure from here on out. Michaela's celebration was adorable though when she like saw it, she had one more round to go. She's like, this is the closest I've gotten so far to getting a challenge win. She goes out, she gets it. Desi gives her a hug in the water, and then she gets the confessional being like, I did it, I finally did it.
Whoa. I
Yikes.
mean, from first boot on, like the last time she came on to the challenge, like a pre-merge boot on her first season of Survivor, though it was like a very fun little run for her there. Did she win an individual immunity challenge on the season that we don't remember? Even if she did, it doesn't count because of that season. So I feel like maybe this is the first overall like individual challenge win for Michaela.
We'll go with yes.
But let's look it up. I don't know. She did like dominate in some of those pre-merge challenges anyway. So I don't think it's like, wow, I finally did something. But it's exciting to go from first boot to this.
Yeah, absolutely. To get her first, especially, on this show where Survivor Shmurvivor, at this point, it's all about getting these callbacks on the challenge, which are going to potentially call you back season after season. And if they are smart, they will call Michaela back season after season. She has been giving them everything that you want from Michaela Bradshaw on the challenge. So to get wins and to be able to put yourself in positions of power and make decisions and be more than just like being who she had been so far all these weeks in confessional and talking through her game and just being the character that everybody loves her for being just herself. That's all great, but getting wins and showing that you can do it and all this kind of stuff just makes you an all-around well-rounded challenger, and I am glad that she got that for herself. So loved that. Also love that Wes got a whole confessional about wanting to be drunk with power and then falls right in the water.
Yeah, they do the like setup confessionals better than like Big Brother at this point. Yeah, Big Brother has leaned too far into the like, whoa, jokey. But, it's a trope and I don't like it anymore on Big Brother. Here it's still fun.
Yes. Josh goes out pretty soon after. TJ makes fun of Josh, saying that he and Wes have been hanging out too much. TJ, if you only knew.
Yep. So,
And
we'll see how the rest of
then
that goes.
not many notes here until just Fessel getting the win alongside Michaela. Fessel's second win in a row, so on a bit of a streak there. And yeah.
Yeah, like I said, just watch out for these challengers and the individual challenges, and look at Fessel continuing to dominate. Was it Tori 1-2, Fessel 1-2?
Yep,
So,
correct.
look at that.
So, as we're going to get to some decisions being made here, the deliberation and what's going on in the conversations surrounding it, we're going to end up seeing that Fessel and Michaela, sit down to talk, and Michaela is going to kind of concede to like what Fessel's advice about what to do is here, because she has all these different ideas, and a lot of them weren't going over so well with her allies.
I mean, Michaela talking to Desi and Chanel being like, I could take a big shot and throw in Tori here because I'm safe. And so, like, do we really want to throw in Alyssa S or Cassidy here where we could save that for when we go into elimination? And not surprisingly, Chanel and Desi are like, we could go into elimination this week. Like, yes, use them when we might go into elimination. I mean, granted, I don't think they catch a single vote this week, but who knows if that, nomination goes differently, and does the house turn?
Absolutely. The door's open when you start playing a little bit more sideways than everybody's expecting, then other people are going to match that same energy. And there's always a possibility. So I get, of course, why Desi is like hesitant about this and is like, Michaela, let's relax here. Like, glad you got your win, but let's not do anything, out of line from what they had all been planning together. And when they get to the deliberation, I don't know, my only surprise, if anything, which I'm not surprised by any means, that Fessel is still protecting Tyler. It's Chris that's obviously going to go in. It's I guess the Tory of it all is that Fessel's still, going to be defending Tory. Well, Fessel's playing the game. He's playing
I
the
mean,
vet game. He's playing the, protecting all the other vets and convince Michaela that protecting a vet is in her best interest as well, which maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
he said that the options were Alyssa, Cassidy, and Tori. So, like, she was allegedly on the table. Do you think that's true? If Michaela came in here and was like, I want to put in Tori, is Fessel going along with that?
No.
I think probably not. I wonder if it's like, all right, well, like, I'm not compromising on Chris, so we're throwing in Tyler then. Or, like, how does she, like, if she really put her foot down, I'm wondering if there's a way that she could have gotten it done. But I agree that Fessel is not dying to throw in Tori here.
No, I don't think so at all. It doesn't really, especially, we're still, what, one or two rounds from the end of the game. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. Kind of forgot to mention, I mean, it's kind of been obvious, but TJ announced, of course, this is a double elimination, which is why we're, talking about two people going in. So double elimination this week, I would imagine probably next week too, because we think that, oh wait, did we say that this is 12 or 14 episodes? 12, maybe? It has to be. No, it doesn't have to be anything. I don't know.
Who knows?
I mean, if it was MTV, it would be like 18 episodes, but
Yep.
I don't know. We'll see. So wait, anything else from Fessel and Michaela? They're
No.
gonna vote in Chris and Alyssa, which, no surprises there. I'm skipping right over the Tyler and Alyssa S of it all. Alyssa is
Stop
homeless
bringing
at
them
the
up.
moment. I believe Alyssa has confirmed to Rob and Brian Cohen that she has found a place to live.
Oh, that's good. I am also, you know what? Her talking about how she wants to open up an animal rescue, like, it was a little bit more on your side there, Alyssa. Good for you. That is one of the better things that I've heard to do with the money.
When she goes out later and she's on her final confessional, and she's talking about how she got to play with the Tyler Crispin, and she's like, it's so nice to have somebody in the game that actually like rides for you. I'm like, oh my God, like
Stand up. The Tyler Crispin. Oh my
the
God.
Tyler Crispin. Meanwhile, Kyle's at home, as he
Ew.
should, watching, being like, oh, she talking about me.
Ugh, God. I don't want to hear that name ever again.
Sorry. What about Kyle Christie?
Who?
Excuse me.
I'm kidding.
Excuse
The
me.
man has disappeared for so long.
So, Michelle Fitzgerald, and Olivia from the Challenge 38 and 39 have been hanging out for like, I don't know, 2 weeks straight now. Every time I look at their Instagrams or Michelle's Instagram story, they're together. And they did a AMA yesterday, and one of the questions was like, "Oh, should Kyle come back to the challenge?" And Michelle's like, "Me and Kyle are like such good friends, so of course you know I'm trying to convince him to come back." And I was like, "You are? I mean, that sounds really good. I would love that alliance. I love you both, but you are?"
That's funny. I don't know. I could see them getting along actually, but did Kyle just get engaged, married, have another kid? I don't remember.
Engaged.
Engaged? Oh, you can tell me any of them, I believe you. I think he'll be back. I miss Kyle.
Yeah, for sure. There was also, well, I don't know why we're dipping into like 39 so much right now, but we are. Apparently they're filming after shows right now for 39 in both New York and in London. So Michaela was just at Big T's house, like staying with Big T for a while to well, Michaela wasn't on 39, so I don't know why she was there. Maybe she was just visiting. but I don't know if the, like who was in London doing that or whatever the case was. But I know that they were linking up, and I don't know if that has anything to do with Michelle and Kyle, or if Michelle was just traveling there as well and happened to you know stay with him, or I have no idea. But that's that.
Cool. Well, God, after shows mean more to cover.
I think Devin's doing them as well. Again, Devin's Simone.
Well, that'd be nice.
I could be wrong.
She doing the podcast and the after shows. Interesting.
I hope so. Unless it's, you know, I don't know if they're working Devon or Anissa back in the mix there, but this season has been entirely Devin and Tori.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Davon was busy for a little bit.
Yeah, she's staying busy, so good for her.
Yeah, but like, do the podcast also.
Well, she's busy.
Oh, but I don't know. I'm not listening right now anyway, but just like figure it out.
Also, please do not let me forget when we get to the West in like 5 minutes that he just posted an Instagram story, not story, an Instagram post, and I don't want to forget to talk about it. So,
Ooh, I'm gonna forget.
no, All right, you know what? I'm going down to the bottom of my notes. West Instagram post. Let's not forget. Okay, so we already talked about the Chris thing, and we'll talk, or do we? Let's just close out the book here on the Josh and Wes of it all, because Josh is going to go talk to Michelle and Chris about what Chris wants and who he wants, and Chris is like, "Oh yeah, no, I'll definitely take on a vet if that's, you know, if you're giving me the option of Johnny or Wes." It seems like you know, Tyler's the easy option, but if there's people willing to go with a big shot and break up the vets that have not been being like the waters have been pretty, you know, smooth sailing for them lately. So if there's anybody that can do anything about it, and Chris is willing to, you know, go in against one of them, he specifically is looking for Wes, which lines up with what Josh is doing, a potentially targeting Wes, a big finals threat, and somebody who's not his biggest, closest friend in the house. And Josh ultimately, again, is going to make that vote for Wes. That is the decision he's going to go forward with. Later on, Wes is going to go home, and they're going to get that scene at the end of Josh admitting to Wes that this is that was his vote. So this is where we are leaving off with Josh and Wes, the rivalry of the century.
Yeah, funny that Michelle was in that conversation and she was like, "Wow, big move. Not me though. I'm not voting that way."
You'll
like,
have
good
fun.
luck.
Stay safe.
Be quiet. So that was funny, but yeah, Josh is like. Do we want to talk about like the exit right now? Like Josh, you know, Josh going ahead and being like, you know, this was, you know, you're not going to get this reference, but Lady Elena, it was not iconic, but it was funny to watch him just like, yes, it was me. Like, okay, I don't know. He's very broken up about it. I think that the thing is, Wes has talked about how on like exit interviews, like, "No, I'm never going to talk to Josh again. Like, why would I? Like, I have plenty of friends and I don't need someone who betrayed me." Like, was Wes ever going to talk to Josh again anyway if he never
No.
comes back?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you didn't lose anything, Josh. Good news. he was never talking to you. You know, maybe if you were in town, you could have hit him up. Like, maybe, but like for 2 more years, that's it.
Yeah. And like, So there's I get the appeal to Wes. I get the charm of Wes. Like when Wes was on the RJP exit interview, and I'm looking at a screen that has like my friend Brian Cohen, my friend Rob Cesternino, and Wes Bergman on the same screen. I'm like, look at these two talking to Wes. Like that's so cool. Like Wes like feels to me like even if it was bananas on there, like people that have been on, you know, that are the true challenge vets. I'm not talking about Corey and Tori. I'm talking about like people that have been on for a while. If I ever like was in the same room with them talking to them, I would be like a little in awe and being like, I don't know what to say to you. Like you're actually like a legend of reality TV, and I would just get a little bit, you know, frozen. So when I'm seeing my friends talking to them, I'm like, oh wow, like good luck to them because I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know how to stay cool. And so like if I'm Josh and I'm coming at this from a similar perspective of like, oh, like Wes is becoming my friend. I've been playing these games with him. It's still so cool that this is Wes from all those seasons of, you know, he's a reality TV legend. He is at the end of the day. And then to have like him never want to speak to me or see me again, like that would hurt a little bit.
Yeah, but it was already gonna happen. Like Wes is busy.
It would hurt a little bit. I mean, if him and Wes got to the final together, and I don't know, one of them came in first, one of them came in second, or they ended with a good friendship that Wes Josh could go home and FaceTime Wes, and I don't know, maybe that is a better path of happiness for him in his life. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Who knows, honestly? But I don't know. It's interesting to think about. It is funny to look at like people that have been on like 8 seasons of the challenge now versus like 3 seasons of the challenge then. It's like I grew up watching you. Like that's wild.
Yeah.
You know, and Wes has been on 17 seasons of the challenge that I grew up watching. So I definitely get how it is very different when like dealing with that. I still don't know if I would fangirl, but yeah, I mean, look, good for Josh for being able to separate that, but I still maintain that they were not going to be lifelong friends.
No, you're probably right. Anything else from the voting that stood out to you? I mean, Josh and his crying in there. Michelle, there's a little Michelle Cassidy story going of Michelle voting for
Yeah.
Cassidy and feeling really bad about it.
I mean, it's like kind of whatever. Like, what was she gonna do? There was, you
Right, she said
know,
it's me or you.
she could have voted for Tori, but like, she's not doing that for the future. Like, that's not happening. I thought it was interesting that Tyler voted for Michelle, being the single Michelle vote there. Like, why not just throw another vote on Tori?
Do we know who the two Tory votes were?
The Tori votes were apparently Cassidy and Chris,
Okay.
according to
Yeah.
Wikipedia. But I mean. Like Alyssa herself is voting for Cassidy, assuming she wants Cassidy in there against her when she has to go in. And Tyler's like, no, I'm voting Michelle. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, to Tyler or probably to Alyssa, what's the difference?
Yeah.
I think Alyssa has a better shot against Michelle.
Why?
Cassidy is scrappy, scrappier than Michelle.
Ooh, you think so? Yeah, I can see it.
The fight that we saw in Cassidy in that elimination, I'm not saying Michelle couldn't do it. I think Michelle very much could do it, but just seeing Cassidy do it, I was like, there's a fire within her that I probably even underestimated. I wouldn't have seen that coming.
Yeah, I think that Cassidy has more to prove. I think that coming off of her Survivor season, I think that she feels very, very underestimated, underappreciated. And she is like really coming in here with, you know, wants to make her mark. And I think that she's doing it.
After she wins her elimination, cutting ahead to this part, she calls out the Strong Girls Alliance, which Michelle's in confessional being like, it's not me. So, you know, keep going, Cass. And I like this little back and forth. Desi being like, all right, Cassidy's always got something to say. Okay. So I'm like, well, obviously Cassidy's still in the game. I hope that this, like, you know, leads to something in the next week or two of I don't know what, an elimination, maybe Cassidy versus one of them, or something. Just again, Cassidy's putting her money where her mouth is, not really by choice, but by, you know, necessity to survive here. And you got everybody else that's like, we're not that they're trying to get rid of her, but like at this point, it would make a lot more sense to get rid of her because she keeps coming back into the house pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, I got good news for you. I think that Cassidy will end up in an elimination against one of them at some
Probably,
point.
yeah.
It could be her versus Michelle next week, and maybe she loses that, but I'm pretty sure she's going to end up in an elimination against one of them at some point. So we will see. I think that it will be interesting, but I don't know. Turning on, it's funny that at the beginning of the episode, it's like, Chris, how could you turn on your survivor family? Why would you do that? Also, Cassidy, we're all voting for you and you're going home. So, sorry.
The votes that came in as we get to the elimination are going to be for the women's side. It was Cassidy with her 9 votes. So obviously she was upset. Michelle only got the 1 vote, and Tori got 2. So, chances were certainly in Cassidy's favor of going in. Same could have been said for Tyler, who had 7 votes, to Wes's 3 votes, Bananas's 2 votes, which I believe came from Tyler and Alyssa. And Wes knew that his votes came from Michelle and Cassidy, right? Right, I think.
No, not Michelle and Cassidy. Wes's votes came from Cassidy and Chris and Josh.
Cassidy and Chris. So Cassidy and Chris voted for Tori and Wes.
Yeah.
Michelle voted for
Michelle
Tyler.
voted for Tyler and Cassidy.
Okay. And yeah, so I don't know, whatever. That's where the votes are. The whole thing is Wes doesn't know where his vote came from.
Well, what do you think about the elimination?
It was the Alyssa Cassidy round was fun. They both went pretty well up against each other. It was pretty back and forth. This is like Alyssa was like, "Oh yeah, I'm glad it's not a hall brawl," but like it's the same concept to me in the sense of like if one of the people competing here is bigger and stronger, like you're done for.
I think that ultimately this could have been improved if the tube was bigger so that you actually had a chance of running away more effectively. So I think that would have been an improvement here. But overall, I did like this, I will say, because it seems like if someone was bigger, they were bound to win. But everyone was saying Alyssa is bigger than Cassidy.
They were saying she had a longer like wingspan.
I mean, that is generally going to mean you are bigger. I don't think people were like, well, Alyssa is a smaller person, but we've measured her wingspan and it's 3 inches longer. I don't think that's the case. I think that they are saying Alyssa is bigger, so she will have more reach on her.
I feel like you're mocking me. I don't appreciate it.
I'm saying what I think.
Maybe they measured her wingspan, okay?
They did not measure her wingspan. So
Everybody's getting their wingspan measured for the daily challenge and for this, and
I don't
they all
doubt
know
that
each
they
other's wingspan measurements, okay?
doubt that actually this is the challenge. I do doubt that they're measured. I doubt I'm surprised they had their height on file. They're they're not checking for these things.
Fessy's like, I'm 6'7". They're like, yeah, okay, we have to check.
Wingspan
Anyway, I thought that the distance, or the size of the tube or whatever we're calling it, I thought it was a good size because I wouldn't have wanted to see where, if it's like any bigger and somebody can legitimately just, chase the other one around and never actually catch up to the person because it's so big. I don't know if that would have happened, but I don't
I
know.
just feel like it's at that point that we were getting at, every single person got at least 8 patches, felt like a lot. So I don't know, maybe just a tiny bit bigger but not too much. I think it's hard to find that right balance,
Yeah.
but it was
And
good
then
overall.
the Wes and Chris matchup went a lot funnier, better than the two women's did because eventually, so Wes is like flying through the air. I was definitely thinking the Peter Pan of it all before Tori even said it, that Wes looked like he's, in a Broadway show flying around the stage there. And then eventually, I think, I don't remember who said it. Somebody called Chris the Venus flytrap, which was like so accurate because the way that he just eventually catches Wes and holds on to him, puts him in a leg lock in a way that he's not going to escape. He doesn't have, the ground to push off of, or like, sure, move your arms and like start hitting Chris or pushing Chris, but Chris has his legs wrapped around you, and all he has to do is now start picking apart. He has, it doesn't take very long to grab all the rest of the patches off, and get the win there. So, Chris, crushed that part of it.
Hold on tight, Spider Monkey. I mean, Chris really just completely grappled him. I at first thought that the strategy of pushing away from the container and just swinging was really good until I realized that you lose all control when you're in that moment. Now, if it's a last resort, I think probably good because you can run down the clock, especially if you run at first and then get away and to the point where you're not going to come closer while the clock is still on. But it gives the other person the opportunity to completely stay on it, move the opposite direction, and just jump at you, which I think is a dangerous position to be in. You completely lose all agency in what you're doing. But it looked cool.
I was jealous of both of them.
Oh.
And I'll leave it at that. It was a really good elimination, Scally. Highly enjoyed. Hope to see it back sometime.
Rematch
the first time I watched it was the morning after. I was not staying up that late. The show comes on too late. So I watched it the morning after, and I was like, "Wait, what's going on?" Like, I'm like half awake in the morning, and then watching another
this
rewatch just now, I'm like, "Whoa, whoa." So that's that. And back to Wes Bergman. So Chris goes back in. Wes Bergman is saying that, this is it. I'm not coming back. TJ, believes him just as much as the rest of us do. And great, good for you, Wes. We'll see you in season 40, 41, 42. You're welcome back whenever you're ready to change your mind. I guess one question before we get into, like, do you believe this or not? Do you think, like, Wes seems like he came into this season already feeling down. He felt like the vets didn't have a chance and he was already kind of at a disadvantage and like kind of felt looked like he was already defeated from the moment he got into the house and just kind of made it this far somehow, some way.
I mean, I do think that he kind of, like, I think what he said was true in where he said, like, oh, I was all excited. His wife's favorite show is Survivor. He, like, gets involved in Survivor and, like, some of the CBS stuff occasionally. And so he thought he was going to come in and maybe that the gameplay would be elevated. It would be different. He says, like, look, there's no doubt the people on CBS are smarter than the MTV cast as a whole. Like, no question. But he was like, it was a fairly, like, elementary, plan, as like you would see on the challenge, like MTV anytime would be straight up like this is what would happen. So I guess you can't be too surprised, but he thought basically like, oh, maybe there'll be like a couple survivors and a couple Big Brother people and a couple challengers, like in an alliance. But at the same time, like, I don't think Wes was ever going to be throwing away his MTV allies, so you can't be surprised that people weren't willing to throw away theirs. So I understand why he was down about like coming into his last season and realizing he doesn't really have as good of a chance as he thought he did. But sucks to see that he wasn't like fully at, 100%.
Yeah, he was on the podcast with Bananas complaining about, so it was bad enough that we were separated from everybody in the beginning in the first place, brought in to say like, oh, look, here are the champs, like it was invasion, and with the big target on her back from the jump. And then, the first challenge, we're carrying statues of ourselves. So, people like right off the bat did not want us to be there all the way to the end or in the first place. And, he just, again, just sounded defeated.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I think it's not like a fun position to come in on, but there's a reason why they should be targeted. Like, Wes is an all-time great at the show, and that's why you can't let him get far. If it was, I don't know, some of the people on season 39 of the challenge, those were the MTV people that got brought over into USA. I would not be saying you have to target them right away. Like, you can let them slide a little bit, maybe target the biggest alliance in Survivor. But, like, I don't care if Wes and Bananas were the only two people there. Like, you should be targeting them immediately.
Yeah. And just a quick answer. My answer is obviously yes. Do we see Wes again?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
There's just no world in which he's completely done. I could even see them throwing money at him to have him be like a mercenary at some point if he didn't do a full season, but I'm very confident he's also going to be doing a full season at some point.
That man is too young and too still in great shape to, and a
I
child
get
in the
it.
way. Like, there's going to be a child at his home, and I don't care how successful his businesses are. These paychecks are not nothing to sneeze at, or nothing to sneeze at. So he will be back, and I'll look forward to that day. For now, I'm fine with a break. Any of these vets, Banana, like anybody that like is still doing these shows, Darrell, anybody like that, like. I like it when you come back every so often. You don't need to be here every season. I'll throw in Anissa in that category of like I've been very oversaturated with Anissa content, but we've had a break, and I hope that the break lasts a little while longer. And then when she does come back, I'll be like, oh, hey, how are you?
I'm good on a couple of them still for a little while, but Wes is like the one that I needed it the least from, I feel like. We would still not get him on every single season, and like some other people have tweeted he did go home a couple times pretty early, so I don't feel like the West saturation is at high of a level as some of these other people. He also doesn't annoy me as much as some of these other people, but I am good with taking a couple seasons off and then coming back. I feel like, yes, he is not going to be doing these seasons with the regularity that he is doing them now. I mean, but we also went through a dry spell of Wes at one point before, so we'll survive. And eventually, when we do get him back for a season, you know, here or there, I'll be excited then.
So my final bit of Wes talk here is the Instagram post that I just came across. He posted it
Ooh.
like while we were talking in the last half hour. From his Instagram account, Weston Bergman. Well, 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 I'm hanging up my Under Armour. I want to take a quick second to thank you all for your support over the last 2 decades. This appreciation is directed at the fans who have dubbed me the funniest and most entertaining challenger of all time. It's directed towards the producers who have trusted me to help them document the greatest game ever invented, to my cast members with whom we've created lifelong memories together. A lot of talk has been had on whether I'm actually done or not. I've heard a lot of C140 comments. The second slide in this post is my Venmo account. If you send me $100 and I appear on 40 as a competitor, I will send you back $1,000. If I don't appear, you get nothing. So you have three choices. Believe me, put your money where your mouth is, because how could you pass up a 10 times return, or admit that you don't have $100? Terms and conditions. Flashbacks, phone calls where I mentor or torment cast members, or any sort of cameo don't count. Each $100 you spend is like a ticket. So if you buy $10,000 worth of tickets and I appear in season 40, I'll owe you $100,000. Max tickets you can buy is $100,000. Deadline to buy is 7 days from now. Bye. Wes's Venmo is listed. If anybody would like to buy, I will not give you the handle because I do not support you doing that. But if you'd like to Venmo Wes and take a chance that you will sometime get a big return, don't do it. He's not going to be on 40. Like, he's not going to do 40. Fine. I'll believe him on that. I'll believe him that he's not going to do 40. 41. See you then. Like, whatever. Whatever. I've had enough.
That's funny. Oh, Wes. This is
I've
classic. I
had
mean, he's
enough.
still gonna have a Patreon, like where he like talks about behind the scenes stuff that he finds out. He'll do all of that. That's not surprising. I don't know. I just think that, like, yeah, maybe his businesses are at a place where they like really need him right now, but he'll find a partner eventually or something that he can walk away for a little bit.
Yep. All right. Anything else on this first half of this podcast? And if we forgot anything, we'll be back in the second half in no time because we're going to switch right over to it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see when we do get to record, because depending on our recording schedule, that offer could be over by the time that we release this.
Certainly
But
possible.
no, we are going to find a time. But yeah, I don't know. I am excited to see what's coming up on this next episode. And well, if someone wants to Venmo Wes $100 for me, they can do that. I'll encourage that. But otherwise, save your money and see you soon.
Or Venmo us. And while I'm also on the Reddit, I'm going to pull up this confessionals count and a really quick update. You stop me when you hear something surprising. So from I'm going with the remaining contestants on this season of the total of confessionals that they have. Wes was at the top with 68. He's gone now. 57 for Cassidy Clark at the top. 55, Chris Underwood. 51, Johnny Bananas. 47, Tyler. 44, Tori. 43, Michaela. 40, Josh. Michelle with 39, Desi with 37, and then you get down to the 20s. You got Corey with 29, Fessel with 28, and Chanel at with 21. So none of that too surprising, but I wanted the update.
Who's the woman with the most?
Cassidy, number one, 57.
Interesting.
She's number one overall.
Okay. If you had to put in a winner prediction right now on either side, where would you go?
Are we going by edit? Or are we going by like capabilities?
Oh,
Like
I don't know. Give me your prediction.
just overall, pick
Yeah.
someone.
Yeah.
Okay, so narrowing it down, I usually don't have to do this until the post finale podcast, but what, you want to do this like in the first half and the second half of this
Should
podcast?
we do this in the first half and then update it, or should we just save it for the second half?
Sure, let's do it. Let's do it in both halves if we remember.
Okay.
Do you have your answers?
I'm deciding.
Okay. For the women, it's probably just my heart and my, hope and everything that is gonna make me say this, but I'm gonna say Michaela and just put that out there.
Ooh.
We're getting a lot of Michaela. I just want to hope that this is a reality. So, women, Michaela, and men, not Josh, not Tyler, Fessel's certainly a contender. Chris and his, edit has been glowing, so he's certainly a contender. And then you have Bananas, who's been kind of quieter. Am I missing someone?
No.
That's it.
I don't think so. I don't know.
So, I don't know, Chris or Fessel, one of those two.
Give me one.
Chris.
Yeah. I think I go Chris, and then I think I'm just gonna prepare myself for a Tory win. Which I don't want. I would love to see Michaela win. But I'm a little nervous on that Tory win, so we'll see.
Yeah. All right. We'll update this in the second half. So no plugs, nothing else. Anything else for this first half?
No.
All right. Plugs coming in the
Well, I will
second hour.
say, if you want, you can Venmo me $1 to $1 million payback if I am on season 40. So feel free to Venmo me a dollar up to 100,000 and I'll pay out.
All right. I'm not gonna mess with any of this right now, but if anybody starts getting money, please just send some to me.
Just out there.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to this podcast halfway through. Second half coming at you with episode 11 coverage in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Perfect. Are we getting the zero on the countdown?
Was it supposed to be?
I'm just you ended last time, but they got 3, 2, 1.
No,
Is
I
that
don't
enough
think
for you to
is
open
there
up with?
usually a zero?
It was a joke.
Okay. Well, this is going to be the intro to the podcast. Welcome back, everybody.
Woo!
For part two of this podcast, where we are going to get into episode number 11 that we just watched one day ago, because now we're on time of the Challenge USA, and we've lost one more player. And yeah, that's the update. How are we doing?
Doing well, feeling so much wiser 2 days later. Excited to talk more about the challenge. A pretty fun episode.
Not as like I think I liked the episode 10 as a whole better, but this episode did have a elimination, not elimination. Well, it did have an elimination. It had a daily challenge that I laughed a lot while watching, and it had I don't know, like the dynamics were shifting a little bit more, which I guess was causing for more intrigue from a strategy standpoint than maybe some of the previous episodes have been. Things have been pretty status quo for the most part, and there was, a little bit more of a shakeup going on this episode with the should we do Tori, should we not, and how that all played out.
Yeah, I feel like I did see a best daily challenge ever tweet from you. So that's
Me?
a.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
So I think that honestly sounds like there was a high bar for the episode, and it seems like it probably was met. But no, this was fun. I feel like we got to even highlight a couple people who weren't necessarily highlighted all season. Never mind, not really necessarily, but we got, a couple of good storylines in
Thank
here.
God we finally got to hear Corey Wharton and his backstory and about
He
his
was
kids.
lost.
Like, thank God.
Yeah,
Finally
I
got
mean, he's
them.
been MIA for a while, to be fair.
Yeah, which is okay.
I wasn't complaining. I'm just saying, look, there was a lot of the same for other people. I was glad that even though there was some Chris this episode, I didn't have to watch a flashback to him on the island again.
Yeah, nice.
So,
definitely.
at least there was that.
I'm going to do something totally wild, and can we start with the daily challenge?
Do it.
Now that we're
You
kind of
can't get
already,
your mind off of it.
yeah, I
Okay.
can't get my mind off of it for no particular reason at all. This challenge was called Slippery Business, and it was a very simple concept: douse yourselves in oil, get into this ring, and beat each other up until somebody is the last one standing. It's essentially a Royal Rumble for all the wrestling fans out there. And I'm sure even you, not as a wrestling fan, know what a Royal Rumble is, right?
Heard of it.
Okay, good. It just involves getting everybody else out of the ring and you being the last one standing. And
Saw it on Renap.
this was just comedy and some good visuals and some entertaining matches. Did you like it half as much as I seem to have?
No, it was really good. I think I would like stand it more if it was actually almost earlier on. I don't know if it would just be like more even. And
Which
maybe we
person that
got.
went home did you want to see lathered up in oil? Give us
Oh,
names.
let's see. I could pull the Wikipedia up. But no, I feel like they just would have maybe had more of like a fair distribution of people on the show, but I think that it was super fun. It would make a great elimination, first of all. I think that, you know, we've had variations of this in elimination, but I think that the one-on-ones would be fun. I mean, Tori says that if it was one-on-one, she would have beaten every girl there. I would like to see that proven, please, because I don't know if it's true. But I think that, look, I'm not asking for a full episode of, like, challenge, but if they ever were, like, we are doing a bracket style, like, elimination, whoever loses, like, the most or, like, wins the most gets this big thing or loses the most goes home, like, this is something I could watch for a while.
So you want the lip sync for your life episode, but it's the oil wrestling.
I think they're gonna do it at some point, and if I have to pick a challenge.
Look, I'll support it. Yeah, no, there was a lot of the obvious downfall of this challenge, to get that out of the way, is the fact that the majority is always going to team up and take out the person that is, the outsider. Tori, Chris, both being attacked right away in this, and then immediately going for the next person on the, lowest on the ladder. Cassidy for the women, and Tyler for the men, and then eventually it's like, all right, well, now let's just have fun and throw each other out. So maybe, yeah, whether it's earlier in the season or just at a more even playing field, more contentious playing field, besides, there's a majority alliance and this is what they're going to do. I don't know. But so that aside, it was entertaining. Again, some of the matchups were good when you get down to Michaela versus Chanel, and when you have Cassidy putting up much bigger of a fight, of a fight than people might have been expecting, than Chanel was definitely expecting. Corey, Fessy and Josh did not have to actually fight each other. One of them could have just, pushed the other two out and said, "All right, I'm gonna take this win." But it was they went for it, and it was, nobody got hurt. That's all good.
That was the thing. I did worry about injury. I was like, oh my God, my frail body. But look, everyone looked great doing it. And then to hear that the Michaela versus Chanel one-on-one actually went on for over 30 minutes and they didn't make that clear on the episode, that is my one complaint of, like, Chanel has not had her moment. And even for Michaela, like, we could make this a very impressive battle between the two of them if you had just been like 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, 25 minutes later. Like, that could take 3 seconds to make it clear how long this has gone on.
True.
And it was fun to watch regardless, but I think that's the one thing that would have made it better.
Yeah, Chanel really not edit still not really helping her much, as she tries to be like, "Oh, I really haven't had my moment yet," and then Michaela pushing her out, and it's like, "Oh, not happening."
I still think if they had made it clear that this had gone on so long and Chanel loses, that's still a moment. Like, I think that this was a, like, really good one-on-one fight. I think Chanel says that she outweighs every girl in the house, which I did not realize. But she's still, like, shorter than most, if not all, girls in the house. So she's very muscular and is really good at this. So to see that she, like, Michaela is probably the tallest girl in the house. I think most people are assuming that she is a favorite in this. To see that Chanel, like, went for over 30 minutes with her in here was really impressive.
Yeah. Tori commented during it, saying it looks like they just came out of WrestleMania. And as someone who has watched a couple days of wrestling in my life, it genuinely did. Like, it looked like they had, 5 minutes of training from, some former WWE superstar. That was like, I was just like, you look at the guys and you have, like, granted, they're not trying as hard because, or maybe not putting as much of a fight because, A, why do you want to get hurt? And B, it's like three people that are all looking after each other. But, they're just kind of doing, like, the basic, like, pushing each other around. The highlights that we got from Michaela versus Chanel were, like, some intense flips, like tripping the other one up, and it just, like, holding people in locks that I was, like, not expecting. Weakening the other person while you're anywhere, you're too far from the end of the circle to, like, get them out, to try to eventually then drag them out. People do this in eliminations all the time. So it was just a good matchup between the two of them, and all throughout there was just plenty of humorous moments that I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, very much enjoyed it. I do agree that the women's matchups were, like, more hardly fought and intense, but I thought it was very fun on both sides. I mean, even watching, like, Josh versus Corey or Corey versus Fessel, like, Josh put up a really solid fight, I thought, against Corey and just in general in this. And also just like, all right, Josh has actually put in, like, a lot of work and is much more equipped for the challenge, I think, is very clear through this through this challenge here. And then also Corey beating Fessel, when I think most people would assume Fessy is the clear favorite based on size. It was both impressive.
I would say the oil probably had a little bit to do with that. I mean, nobody can really get their footing when you're, you know, on a slippery, slippery mat. So, you know, be as big as you want. But when you're in that kind of position, I feel like there's other factors that prevent somebody from like Fessy from being able to just run over, you know, his opponent. So
for sure.
Corey also, you know, showing out.
I did really like, I don't remember who tweeted it, that I can't give credit, but someone did say, like, Fessel acts like he's the only man that's on the challenge that's ever played football before. so it's very funny. I mean, even Corey being like, I wrestled in eighth grade. Like, congrats. Like, I don't know how much that's going to help here, but sure. So very funny to me when they drop their athletic backgrounds as if most of them do not have similar.
Right. And my final comment is just a shout out to Jenny Autumn and myself and everybody else out there who have broken computers and just can't, you know, move the screen off of the GIF that that you tweeted and, you know, similar pictures and videos of the such from this challenge. It's, you know, I don't know how all of our devices broke at the same time and that's all we can, you know, have played, but I hope they all get fixed soon.
Look, I don't tweet that much about the challenge, honestly, because I feel like people are challenge Twitter is not the best. 53,500 views on that tweet.
So. I 100% agree with you about challenge Twitter, and I had a challenge tweet from last night that we'll talk about why later. Nearly 1,000 likes, 842 as of right now. I'm like, that's a challenge tweet?
Yeah, there's one person who is consistently killing the challenge Twitter game. Let me find it. Is Alan Aguirre. But otherwise, you know, generally it's a struggle out there.
So, that's it for the challenge. I mean, I guess since we're talking about the challenge, we can talk about the fact that yes, Corey and Mikayla are the winners of it. But we'll get into the strategy and their plans all throughout after.
I thought was funny is that Mikayla's like, all of the men are playing cowardly. It's everyone against Chris. And then immediately it's like, it's 5-on-1 against Tori. I mean, you have the same strategy. I don't know if it was just editing that made it look weird, but I didn't really see all that much different between the two rounds.
Yeah. It also, I loved, I think it was, yeah, it was Chanel that made the comment being like, I don't recognize that Mikayla standing in front of me. She looks like she's ready to, like, you know, tear me apart. So that was good. And then at the end, it was, I don't know if it was funny or what, but I did take note of all of the women going in for a group hug after all was said and done.
Look, it's all fun and games until someone gets hurt, I guess, which is very likely on the challenge.
So yeah, it was a good challenge, good daily challenge.
That's the thing is, I always used to be like, when on these shows where it was like, oh, like I would always go like skydiving or bungee jumping or whatever, because like it's math. Like, what is the math in that you're going to get hurt? Now with the challenge, I'm like, I would have more fear doing these things on the challenge than outside of the challenge by far.
Probably.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't do any of them. Not any like the major ones, like skydiving. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good on the ground.
Okay.
What do you, so we've seen a lot from Mikayla in the past couple of weeks, and we kind of know where her game's at, where her head's at. But as we said, we haven't really seen much from Corey. So just kind of quickly touching on Corey here, he gets the phone call from home. So we see Taylor and his kids. Taylor apparently not banned from being on MTV. You know, so there's that. I don't know. Just any thoughts on him, his place in the game right now, his approach, as I guess we'll kind of work that, you know, work our way into getting into that on where he's at right now.
I don't really get where he's at, to be honest, because he's saying, look, I want the vets to think that I'm working with them, but really, I want to start working with Desi and Chanel and Mikayla and build myself a little crew over here, only to, I mean, to be aided by the fact when they get into nominations, and Corey's like, Mikayla, I'm following your lead, and then refuses to really do any work with her there. So I don't know what he's aiming for at this point. It seems like he's had a really good social game. He's escaped being a target as a vet for the most part, where most of the other vets did end up as targets early on. So good on him there. But I don't really understand what his game is at this point. Like, what does he want? Besides, well, so just to make it to the end.
Yeah, talking about a guy who's 9 seasons in and hasn't gotten a win yet, but has made it to a handful of finals, is there anything for him to do besides just keep trying at the final and hoping eventually he gets it? Like, he's always gonna, I mean, of course you can make the argument that, like, maybe he should be trying to get himself there with weaker competitors, going against even bringing Bananas all the way to the end, the 7-time champion to your 0-time champion. I'm not being shady, I'm just stating facts. Like, maybe trying to get that person out would be somewhat helpful because you'll maybe lose to them. But I don't know. It's just like you've done it a handful of times, and yes, it does feel like he's just like, all right, get me to the final and give me that one more shot, and I'll get it this time.
Yeah, I think the structure makes it a little difficult. Bananas is just so insulated, where I think that I don't know that any woman is going to win and be willing to say his name as the main nomination. I can't, I mean, Cassidy, but otherwise, I can't think of anyone. Because it seems like Michaela wants to work with Bananas, and being that she is working so closely with Desi and Chanel, and we haven't seen anything to the contrary, I think it is fair to say they probably likely are also working with Bananas. I don't think Michelle is going to be willing to say his name. So Corey is going to have a hard time getting Bananas in as the main vote. And we are low enough in numbers, it's pretty hard to disguise your vote in the hopper. So I think that this makes it pretty difficult to actually like make a big move on him at this point.
Corey's also a bad liar, so if he did put a ball in for Bananas and tried to deny it, like, he would be found out so fast.
Oh yeah, I mean, duh.
So I don't know. That's the Corey update. I mean, to I guess kind of get into it all, lot to get into with the way that the deliberations are going to play out with all this. It's going to end up being again Corey and Michaela that are deciding on what names to put in. And as mentioned earlier, one of the big themes of this episode is the Strong Girls Alliance, the Strong Survivor Girls Alliance, deciding, do we continue this path of working closely with Tori or working with her enough to keep us safe and we keep her safe? Or is it time to end that and try to get her out before the final because we know she's a threat? So we're going to get, Tori even gives a confessional being like, I'm just hoping that we stay steady here. I saved them. I'm hoping that they'll continue to save me. We see Michaela does want to put this plan into action of potentially getting Tori out while Desi and Chanel are a little bit, more nervous about it because they could be the ones that have to go face Tori. So when we go in and we get Corey and Michaela and all of the discussion of this, it feels like once Corey shut it down, Michaela pretty quickly, first of all, she gets very upset with him. But she does seem to understand that Tori is not going to be an option. We're going to have to work something else out.
I mean, I don't really blame her. It seems like Corey's not really willing to budge on any of his targets after, like I said, coming in and being like, Michaela, I'm following your lead. Like, tell me what you want to do. And she's like, all right, well, then why even say that? I don't really feel like we got anywhere. So if you are only willing to, it's one of these two guys and it's definitely this girl, then why are we even having this discussion? Stop wasting my time.
Yeah, there was a point where she's like, well, I guess I'll just do Tyler and Cassidy and, make a dumb move. And Corey's like, okay. Like,
Yeah.
okay, I guess that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. So I just don't think that they were ever going to come out of here with any different nomination set. I mean, like I said earlier, Corey said he's going to try to work with Michaela, Desi, and Chanel. And it's like, and how? How you just want them to keep you safe and then you don't do anything that Michaela wants?
Right. He just wants to essentially have, the strong partners at the end so that when he's, just trying to make sure he's covered for the final, doesn't care about, any of their games on the path to getting there. Because whether it's them or Tori, he'll be good. But what was I going to say? Him wanting to work with Michaela, like, so much for that, he immediately, is going to rat her out to Tori and say, so she was saying your name.
I mean, it can't be that surprised, Michaela. Like, that's the only thing is I just like this was always going to leak. I mean, even if you were successful, it was going to obviously be at your hands. So I don't think that it can be too surprising that people find out that this happened. But especially when you are going in there with Corey, I don't really know why we thought this was going to end up successfully getting Tori into elimination.
I want to cut ahead to a little bit later on and just work this all into the same conversation. When we have the party going on later on, and Cassidy and Michaela get into this confrontation about the game, and Cassidy feels like Michaela's just throwing it in her face that she's trying to get her into elimination that night, when there's a very, a very clear other path that it could just be try to get it to be a guy's elimination and keep Cassidy as part of this survivor group safe for today, that they have been kind of working together. And then, the conversation, as we saw, did not go very well. And Cassidy just makes a comment to Michaela saying that she is just all logic all the time, no emotion whatsoever. And she said it kind of freaks her out. What do you think of that assessment of Michaela as a player, at least for this season, if not overall?
I think that that's been something that has hurt Michaela in the past. I go back to her and Jay on her original Survivor season and feel like Michaela's ability to logic things out with, seemingly little emotion involved, or just like at least being able to like put that aside has intimidated people in the past. And I think that some of that has to do with the package in the person that it is coming from. So I think that, like, obviously there is going to be a little bit of a bias there. But I also think that, like, everyone was very drunk this night. And so there was a lot of things that were just kind of not making sense. I mean, as it is presented to us, Cassidy goes up to Michaela and was like, "Can you make this a guy's day? Like, could do this? Like, that's the least you could do for me, right?" And like, whatever. And Michaela was like, "No, it's gonna be a girl's day." She's like, "Stop attacking me." It's like, wait, what? Like, you asked her. Like, I don't understand. The choice of word on attack is not great. But I just feel like it was not as if Michaela seemed to just come up to Cassidy and just be like, "We're throwing you in." It's like, well, you asked.
As far as Michaela goes, it definitely, kind of rings true to how it seems she has played, in the past. Chanel even commenting like, yeah, this is kind of the game style that Michaela goes for, whether it's because she's had no other option in past scenarios, or it's just the way that she, has decided to play these games. I don't know. I think Michaela has a lot of skills for these games, but she's by no means a perfect player. There's not many perfect players out there. But I do feel like she, has some room for improvement. She can maybe get the strategy all planned out in her head, and then the execution, which is why, the execution doesn't really come along with like killer social instincts, in the way that, if you're gonna do this, you're gonna throw Cassidy in. I don't know. I guess like if you're considering Cassidy a complete, flop and not worth your time because she's not gonna win anything to keep you safe and you wanna just discard her, okay, fine. But it did kind of feel like, being completely careless of her emotions and thoughts going into it, and trying to comfort her in any way, shape, or form. And at this point, I mean, I do think that we are getting the vibe from both her in the game and her on podcast last week being like, she just finds Cassidy annoying and didn't really seem too interested in being, her friend or her ally. So there's that as well. But I don't know, just overall for Michaela, I do think again there's kind of room for improvement there. By no means is she, playing this awfully. It's just when she's having this conversation with Corey and she's like, "I don't think that you're playing, in terms of like genuine probability." And Corey's like, "I just gave you like logical answers and my answers is answering the questions that you asked, and you're telling me that those aren't good enough." And she's like, No, it's not what I said." It's like, it kind of is what you said, but
I think that the edits that we've gotten on Michaela more so have actually just shown us almost like an inability to see it from other people's perspectives. And she's always coming at it like, "This is exactly how I see it and exactly how it is. And why don't you see it that same way?"
Right.
So where she goes to Desi and Chanel and she's like, "We have to take the shot at Tori because I'm safe this week and we need to get her out." They're like, "Yeah, but we could get thrown in." She's like, "Yeah, and?" Like, and. So I think that it's like obviously they're going to be nervous about that. And I think she obviously understands the worry there, but just doesn't necessarily factor that into the plans that she is making.
Yeah, like the fact that we're gonna see, I don't know like the order of all of this, but we're gonna see scenes later on of her talking to Chris saying, "I really want it to be a girl's day," like trying to plan things out with him, and like these are the only two in the house that have no idea what's going on. Like, I mean, granted, you know, the people that vote for Tory, Desi, Chanel, and Chris, like, also, well, no, they do know what's going on. They just have a different plan, and they tried to use their votes in a different way, but it's just, you know, it's not lining up. Michaela is playing on a different page, and this late in the game, you kind of don't want to be on that far of a different page from everybody else, and or at least from your closest allies. So I
Well,
don't know.
that's it. I think as long as you are on the same page with your closest allies, like that's the best you can do. Because it's not as if she should just. I think Steven said it on Know It Alls today. Like, better to be the head of the sheep than to tail of the lion. Like, you want to actively be involved rather than just like lining up for the slaughter. That's not the move. You don't want to go ahead and just become the bottom of the dominant alliance there either. So I have no, especially when the vote format is as such where your minority of votes still could be very impactful. So if they have, you know, four votes, if they think, then that those four votes could very easily come up comparatively to the six other votes. So I think that it is being played correctly by Desi and Chanel and Michaela when she gets on board, but the inability to, or lack of caring to necessarily, you know, approach it from their same angle is what's hurting her.
Yes. While we're talking about the party, of course we have to talk about the highlight of the party. So Cassidy Clark has been stressed out in this Challenge USA house. She's been having a rough time. She hasn't been exactly, you know, in the best position in the past couple of weeks. So Tori, I think, says on the podcast this week that, you know, they were supposed to be going out like they usually do this night. They convinced production to let them stay in instead, and they were like, just, you know, we'll do it here instead. So they got got alcohol. They were all having fun here at the house, and they, some of them, you know, delivered on the night of entertainment more than others. One of those people being Cassidy Clark, who was definitely having a lot of fun and took the opportunity to, as she says, I think on Instagram, let me see if I can find the exact Instagram
Oh boy.
story. She was it Khaleesi, right?
That is it.
She said, it's a picture of her standing over one Michelle Fitzgerald. At the challenge, has me getting betrayed by my Survivor idol one week and kissing her the next. If this isn't winning, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I think that there were even, I mean, first of all, just like you could tell that everyone was very drunk, so I think specifically Cassidy. I also think based on how some of this stuff was edited and or some of the answers and confessionals, there might have been an edit that they considered going with of like a wow, Cassidy is drunk edit, because the way that Michelle responds when they talk about them making out and, you know, by Shell making her appearance on the show is like, well, if she needs to let off some steam by kissing me, like, have at it, girl. It's like, were you not involved in this? Like, are you trying to say that, like, Cassidy, like, pounced on you? Like, that was a weird way to phrase this, as if you were a passive participant. But I don't know. It was interesting.
Yeah, and especially 'cause like she did take to Twitter when the pictures were coming out from this, like I think it was the day of the episode or before, being like, Bichelle's here, she's here, you've all been waiting.
And that's why I kind of read it as less like, oh, she did it, and I'm like, it's fine, like I it's whatever, more than like, yeah, she's drunk, like who cares, you know, as if they were asking her like, was Cassidy so drunk, did she like get like, did she try to make out with you, did she
Right,
do
like,
this, like
are you
you know, I think
guys
that she
like
was
hooking up now? Like,
maybe protecting Cassidy from a like she's sloppy edit,
yeah.
you know, more than anything. But the way that it was edited was odd.
Yeah. But what a moment. And as I tweeted, which was the tweet that ended up, I don't know if that's called viral or not, but you know, couple hundred likes. I just truly cannot believe that there are Survivor fans out there, Michelle Fitzgerald fans out there, that still refuse to watch the challenge with Michelle, and miss out on moments like this of two of, you know, modern era's most stannable women on the show, Michelle and Cassidy, making their way to the challenge and just having fun. So, you know,
The
Siri Play
number of
girls just want to have
responses
fun.
that are like, wait, what?
I know. People were being like, no way, what season? I'm like, what the hell are you, what?
Prove
They're
it. Where
like,
can I see
right, they're like,
it?
link me. I'm like, no, I'm not working for you. Like,
That is my favorite.
I hate that.
Here's a question that I have that's going to take. Hey, can you send me the no?
Like, that happens in Big Brother updates and stuff too. Like, just a very basic tweet about, like, oh, I hate Cameron. And they're like, can you tell me everything Cameron said in the past week? And, like, what's he
Oh
planning?
my God,
Like,
the most.
no, I cannot do that for
I don't have
you.
time.
Like, there should be, like a response button where you can click and like put a value of like like $5, and I'll answer this for you. $5, and I'll take my time to go get a
Just
link,
reply with your
or
Venmo.
right, like Venmo me $10, and I will go cut the clip and put it on Twitter for you to see.
Yeah, that's oh God, especially when it's like weeks old information. Like, I don't know, go look at it. Like, I'm sorry.
So annoying. But I don't know. That's so that's that.
There are
That was
other
fun.
like very valid follow-up questions. It is the like random, hey, can you do all of this work for me? No, I
Right.
cannot.
And like, if the wait sometimes like the wait what can be taken two different ways. Like the wait what, like wait, what? Like they did what? And then people that are like, wait, what are you saying? I'm like, no, I just told you. Like they made out. Like that's it.
Dude,
That's
I
the story.
think
That's
I read
it.
all of those as an excited. Wait, what?
I hope so. I mean, some of them read other ways. Like, wait, like, what do you mean?
I don't know about that, but maybe.
Don't know. People are dumb.
Yeah, unless they have like certain hashtags in their bio, I would read them as excited.
There are so many accounts with the, like Scally 341256. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, oh my God.
Why did you make me a bot?
I'm sure there are Scally bots.
No, there's not. No one make them.
At Brian Scally is a bot.
God.
Brian underscore Scally.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know what I want, like, for a real handle if I could get it, but oh well.
What do you mean, like
I don't know,
at
like, to get rid of
Scally?
the yeah, I mean that would honestly be ideal.
At Scal. Oh,
It's just some rando who hasn't used it since 2007.
well,
Ugh.
there was like a time where they were gonna like remove inactive accounts,
Yeah,
but
I
now you just have to
honestly
pay
was
for it.
thrilled by that.
Yeah, now you just have to pay a lot, so.
Well, but then God, not to like really get on this topic, but they were like, "But we're still not releasing the usernames." Ugh.
Elon.
Yeah.
What do we think about Baichel's involvement in all of this? Where we're gonna see a couple different scenes of her. One is her talking to Tori about what they should do, and Tori says, let's we have the guys on our side, let's make sure it's a guy's day and not a girl's day, and then Michaela will feel the heat of us knowing what she did. And then another scene of her talking to the survivor women, being like, this is our plan, we're gonna put in Tori, and then, as she's voting, Michelle is gonna give us the I don't know what to do, we knew this was gonna happen eventually. I'm playing both sides and I do have to make a decision now. Did she make the right decision?
I think so. I think she made the right move both for this game and for future games. I think that if she turns on Tori, like maybe Tori is willing to work with her again in the future, but it just strains that relationship even more and makes her look like, very fickle to future challenge alumni. Like Anissa's not coming in thrilled on the next season whenever she shows up again. I think that she ultimately, for like, for future games, obviously makes her look a little more trustworthy with the challenge vets. Now, for this game, she currently has a situation where, quote unquote, every guy in the house is working to protect her, and also Tori, where if she makes the move against this, I mean,
That's over.
yeah, they're not going to feel the need to protect her necessarily, at least most of them. And then also, I mean, Michaela could win again next week, or Desi or Chanel. They'll vote in Tori, and then when they want to vote in someone else, it has to be Michelle. So, like, she's still catching votes no matter if she betrays them now or not. May as well do it.
I think it is undeniable, and I guess it is deniable because it's all pretty subjective, but it's pretty undeniable to me to say that she, didn't make the right move. I think she definitely made the right move. Everything you just said, future challenge seasons, like You don't come into your, third, fourth challenge, whatever this is for her, and start making moves against the vets after Josh just made a big move against a vet last week, and he's got eyes on him looking a little bit funny. This is a good season for Michelle to be like, Jay's not here, Johnny Bananas, and Tori, like, I am not Jay. I am my own person, and I want to be with you guys. I want to prove to you that I can be, as annoying as it is, vet strong, and when I'm on my fifth and sixth season, that all of us will stay working together in the same way that we are right now. And it's so annoying, but it's unfortunately the reality of, how these vets play. And if she wants to ingratiate herself in and keep getting asked back and be friends with them enough to keep getting asked back and get these paychecks, she's got to do what she's got to do. And she made the right move there. So that's that. But
just the way with how this season has played out. Like, if it was only just like Tori's by herself, she's like, please, Michelle, vote with me. Like, vote that girl out. Like,
no, stick with the majority. It's the vets are all together still. It's not just Tori.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is that if it, like, because of how it's played out, that's why this is the right move. If it was, thinking about future seasons, but it's just Tori or like just Bananas or just one person here, like, sorry, can't do anything. Like, see you next time. Hey, you can get away with it one more time as like, I don't have any other option. And I think that they'll probably still harbor ill will, but you can get away with it more. This is definitively the best move for future and current.
Mm-hmm. And as she says as well, as far as current goes, what good does it do to have Tori go in against Cassidy? Tori takes Cassidy out. Cassidy is now not in contention to possibly run a final with Michelle, who knows that she is then going to be the weakest link amongst everybody left. It's just, it doesn't make much sense for her. Of course, I get the idea of like, well, one girl out right now guarantees me one more spot closer, but okay. And then you're going to be the next girl that gets voted in because everybody's going to want to face you in an elimination. So,
Well, that's the thing. If you know that five girls are going to the final, let's say that's the world where I could see making this a girl's day. It's the only time where it's like, well, there's going to be no more eliminations. So there's no real repercussion I can face. I also lock my spot into a final. That's where I'm a lot more interested in entertaining throwing in Tori, but I don't think that they have that confirmation. And I also think if they have that confirmation, I don't think this is the last elimination for either gender. So,
mm-hmm. No, I would doubt that as well. We don't know anything about when the final starts, so
mm-hmm.
Must be at least 14 episodes.
Oh my gosh!
I think we might have known. I don't remember.
Who knows?
Can't wait. It's been weeks. Elimination time, and we'll get into all this.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the vote breakdown is as we expected it to be going into it. Well, I guess we didn't know where Michelle's vote was going to be, but the Tory votes come in, three of them from Desi, Chanel, and Chris. One Chanel vote comes in from, I believe, Tyler. And
yeah,
then
random.
Chris, yeah, well, obviously just trying to get it to be a girl's day, as him and, no, that wasn't him that discussed.
But I guess, is he aligned with Tori?
I mean, anything that would get him not having to go into elimination is.
But why not vote Tori? Like, why not, work, try to, why Chanel?
Oh, well, I don't think that they told him the plan.
I mean, sure, I don't know. I just feel like it is.
And a vote on Tori versus a vote on Chanel, there's no difference.
Yeah, I think he did vote for Michelle last time, so I guess it is random, but I don't know if he's just targeting Survivor specifically or what it is.
I also, if I'm Tyler, I want to run a final with Tori, so I'm not trying to get rid of her.
Do you want to run a final with Chanel?
I mean, of the people left, if that's the person I have the least connection with, then yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Cassidy's already going in. I don't want to, perception of the house. I don't want to run a final with Cassidy is one thing. I don't know.
I just feel like he probably votes Michelle then if he's worried about who he's running a final with.
I guess. Maybe they're friends. I don't know.
sure.
Chris.
Voted her last one.
They're friends now. Social game on point. Chris is going to get the lion's share of the votes and does eventually get pulled into elimination. Chris at the beginning of the episode says that his biggest targets were Tyler and Fessy. That's the Big Brother alliance that he's referring to, that he's finally ready to take them out, I guess.
sure.
Yeah, sure. Josh, included as well. Okay. Sure. what else? I don't know. So this elimination, Tyler versus Fessel. Nope, not Fessel. Tyler versus Chris is called Barrel Tag. And what did you think of it?
I mean, it was fine in theory. The fact that it lasted a minute was kind of boring. I actually wonder if someone had just stood still where they were planted rather than trying to make a dash for any other side might have got them the win, because it felt like the line from where they started to where they ended was maybe shorter than the distance from the line from one side to the other, having to go around that big box anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if someone just stood still if they would have won this.
Totally possible. The first thought I had watching it was, do these obstacles, are they going to matter at all? Chris tried to make them matter by throwing barrels at Tyler, which was crazy. They said, use it however you want to. And he did.
Yeah, they didn't say no.
I thought that was wild, just watching him throw barrels at this man. but yeah, it was obviously not the hardest challenge. It was done very fast. You know, the complete opposite of what Tyler's first elimination was this season, you know, going on for hours and hours. This one took seconds, and ultimately came down to about 20, 30 seconds of a difference between the two of them when Chris ends up being the winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look at Chris. This is fourth elimination win. Is Chris breaking the record?
That's five.
Yeah,
or
right.
Six.
I think it's five.
Wait, Sarah had five or she had four?
I think she had five.
So then a tie the record.
I'm saying now he has four. He could get two more, theoretically, if we think there's two more.
Look, I mean, at the end of last week's podcast, the end of 2 days ago's podcast, which was only a couple, like a half hour ago in this podcast, we called some winner picks. I'll just update you right now. I'm going to have to keep Chris on the men's side because, as Bananas is saying in confessional, the man just looks unstoppable. I do think I'm going to stick to the Michaela, even though the social game is looking a little funny at this point in the game. That doesn't matter. And I feel like she's still showing the fight. So I'm sticking to what I said 2 days ago. But yeah, Chris is really looking hard to get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know who you said. Who'd you say? You said
Josh.
You said Josh was winning.
No, I didn't say he was winning. I said Chris was winning. I think I said if I had to root for someone, it would be Josh at this point. I think.
I don't remember who you said that.
Was yeah, I said I think Chris was winning, and I was preparing myself for an inevitable Tory win.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So there's the update on that. And yeah, what else from this elimination? It was, why is Tory talk the way she does? Ruh-ruh.
I mean, it's not surprising. We've been stuck with it for a while.
It was a quick elimination, but it was fine. TJ telling Tyler he's one of the most chill dudes he's ever met, which is a pretty common theme around how people have been describing Tyler. As I was waiting for you for this podcast, I was listening to some of Bananas' interview with Tyler, where he just spent the entire time hitting on Tyler and telling him how much he was like a mystery to him in the house, but he turned out to be a really cool guy. And if him and Alyssa aren't a thing, that he wants to date Tyler instead.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great.
So
I don't. Show
I keep forgetting. Isn't Johnny Bananas like currently in a castle right now filming a show?
So
this is pre-recorded. Yeah. That's going to be a wild show. Which
I'm scared of it.
If Puya's not recording that with you, then you and I are doing something for it.
Oh, are we?
Or I'll find somebody else.
All right. No, I mean, I'm listening, but
okay. That's going to be a lot of fun, and it's challenge adjacent until
that's how we're spinning it.
Yeah. So that's that. There's news in the challenge world. Do you have anything else from the episode?
No, I was going to ask, are we also covering House of Villains, which Bananas is on?
The RHAP is, so I'm sure you'll find your way onto that podcast in some way.
I'm forcing my way on.
Yes, I don't know that I need to be. I'm going to be excited to watch it, but I feel like my shortcomings as a reality TV fan is never having watched New York on a show before.
Yeah, that's wild.
So I don't feel like I deserve to talk about it without having, the proper context of the biggest person on that show.
Yeah, that's true. You're not allowed.
So I'll catch up and then, I'll do the rewatch podcast someday when I actually know more.
All right. Well, yeah, you should watch all of the old VH1 reality.
Okay.
You and Joe.
Okay. We have nothing else to watch. Definitely not like a million movies that I have on my list.
Hasn't he watched a movie already?
He literally just tweeted about the movie he just finished. he saw The Creator and it got 4 stars from him. So
I was interested in that one. I
Nothing.
always, I genuinely look at Jofo's thread to see if I, like, when I'm, like, looking for a thing. Or I've been like,
Recommendations.
I will DM you asking for recommendations, Jofo.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be more than happy to give them.
Perfect. Jofo, give me a good horror movie.
That's my favorite genre, so we do
Is
watch
it?
a
Ooh.
couple of those. What was I going to
Okay.
say? Big news in the challenge world. One Wes Bergman has his baby has been born.
Yep, that is over. The challenge career has ended. No, that's not why,
Lucy
but
Jean is the name of this
congrats.
baby girl.
Look at future RHAP guest, Mr. and Mrs. Weston
Yeah,
Bergman having a child.
that's insane. But I'm excited for that podcast and excited for Wes. Congratulations to the Bergman family for that exciting news. I probably should have started with the bad news. There is bad news out there. Have you seen the Nelson updates?
No, I did not see any Nelson updates.
He hasn't been. He got news a day or two ago that wasn't the best in regards to his injury. For anybody who doesn't know or wasn't following or doesn't remember, Nelson was injured in a pretty bad car accident. The car went on fire. Stop me if I'm getting any of these details wrong. And that was a couple of months ago at this point. He's been, through a million surgeries and working in rehab to kind of get the injury attested to. It's more than an injury at this point. But so he had apparently got bad news from a doctor that it sounds like the bone down there by his ankle broke again, which wasn't
Ugh.
supposed to happen. And his options at this point are not looking great. So I mean, just to generally send out positive vibes and as best of wishes as we can to him. I don't know that. I would say, like, it's not that there's no way that people can help by like commenting on his stuff. He's was asking for like recommendations of looking for like the best doctors for the second opinions on some of this stuff that exists. So if anybody does have that information, I saw a lot of outpouring of people giving information and whatnot. I'm sure he's overwhelmed with all of it, but you feel pretty hopeless as like a fan of these people that you can't do anything to help. But I don't know if there is anything that anybody feels they can do to help. Then he's been talking about it on Instagram, giving updates and whatnot, and even just a showing of support. I'm sure it, goes a long way for this battle he's been facing with this rehab. So tough stuff there. Hope
Yeah, I'm
that
reading about some of the options. It sucks.
certainly hope it gets better. I don't want to get too into the details of
Yeah.
of all of it, but. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, I knew the severity of the accident and unfortunately knew that this was a possibility, but yeah, it still sucks a lot.
But let me get back into some more from this season. I'm just scrolling the Reddit now. Michaela, apparently on Instagram, I'm reading some of her stories. Somebody tell at Khaleesi, which is Cassidy, that this is the third episode showing I wasn't targeting her. Hindsight 2020. Hindsight is 2020. For all those who don't understand, let me explain. At Tori Deal has protection from the whole house, aka our alliance isn't real until some of her friends go home. At Michelle Fitzgerald has been smartly skating by in the middle with no balls or nominations since Amanda left. Love it or hate it, my strategy at this point is break up any groups that can swing numbers against me, be it intentionally or by process of elimination, and help everybody on the out see the writing on the wall and build from the bottom. We're too close to a final to be caught sleeping. Hashtag wake up.
It really read that first part as well as you were reading it. I had read it before, but I forgot. It was like Michelle's been skating ball by with no balls.
Yeah, that's a fair way to read
Yeah, girl's got no balls, just skating
it.
by.
Now she literally complimented her in there being like smartly skating by.
Yeah, no, it was just funny the like how it came out when you were reading it was very different from reading it myself. It was funny.
Josh said they got hammered that night, the night of the
obvious.
party. Yeah, it's fairly obvious. And yeah, no, that's the
I'm bad at
majority.
identifying when people are drunk on TV, I feel like, and this one was blatant.
Yeah.
I actually think that keeping them at home and drinking might lead to more mess in general.
Probably. I mean, we have 10 times more fun at a podcast house than we do at a bar.
Yep. So I think that in general, they can also just like keep the house like more like organized and safe. And so like if they were to give them like a little more to drink, it would be easier to manage than out. They're not letting them talk to anyone at the bar anyway, so I really don't see the point in going out all that much.
Yeah, I agree.
So
Did we ever properly congratulate our listeners of this podcast, Nani and Casey, on their engagement?
ooh,
Was like 2 weeks ago, but I don't know if we talked about it.
I don't think so, but yeah, congrats.
Congrats. We know you guys listen, and very happy for you both. It's been very nice to watch your love story play out over the past couple of years and seasons, and I hope you're enjoying your break from the show and each other's company as you begin this next chapter of your lives.
Yep. So, I'm very curious to see what the future for them looks like on the challenge, but I do know that they have talked about, trying to get pregnant at some point, and look at this, starting a family.
So
Look at
cute.
them.
So cute. A lot of challenge babies running around, so we'll see who where they keep popping up next. All right, what else? Anything else from this week?
No.
Okay, well then we'll be back next week with more of the Challenge USA. Thank you guys for checking out this long podcast, back-to-back recordings of two different episodes, and sorry this didn't get timely to you for last week, but I don't know, hopefully you enjoyed it all here, and we'll see how the rest of this plays out as we get closer and closer to TJ's final here on the Challenge USA 2. What
Ooh.
else? We're done, we're done, we're good, we're
All
plugs
done.
and get out of here. Okay, plugs, I'm on Twitter at Matt Liguori. Scally's plugs, which are turning into Mike Bloom's plugs, go ahead.
I am on Twitter at Brian_Scally. I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/bscally. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon, and that's actually been a lot of fun. I am talking about Big Brother on this Sunday's recap, talking the Sunday recap. Big Brother over on RJP should be super fun. I'm going to be guesting on 90 Day Fiance with Puya this week over on the RHAP wrap-ups, where, on both of them, we'll be talking about how we will be covering the inaugural season of the Traitors Canada over also on the RHAP wrap-ups. That should be super fun. A lot of familiar faces. If you watch any Canadian reality TV shows or maybe even Survivor US, there might be one familiar face. So I think that yeah, it's exciting.
Wait, so I was just begging you before we got on air to bring me on as a guest for that. Are you guys going to be recording at like 3 a.m.? Like, that's your
No.
thing.
I think we're talking about potentially actually recording like pretty close to after the episode, but sometimes, if it doesn't work out, maybe.
All right, well, just so everybody here listening keeps Scally accountable, he didn't promise me that he would get me on, but I'm kind of forcing my way on, and maybe I'll tell you he promised me, because I want to talk about Kevin Martin and Erica and Kuzi and Miss Fierce Alicious, right? That's her name.
Oh God. Yes, Fierce Alicious.
I don't know if I watched that season. I think I did.
Oh. Honestly, the season was like kind of okay. She
But
was the highlight.
I want to watch that. Well, I'm gonna watch that, and I want to talk about it.
I'm sure that you will. Calm
All right, thank you.
down.
You heard it here first, and also both of us will be in New York City next week for RHAP Live. So come say hi.
Definitely do. I love talking to people about the Challenge podcast. It is my fave because I feel like that is like, you're the real fans. You're the real, you're the real
You're listening to
ones.
so many podcasts, including ours, that you like the show.
You're the real ones. yeah, so I really like when people bring up the Challenge podcast.
It is always very nice. So yeah, we'll be there, and excited for that week and for that, and for whenever we watch that next episode of the challenge and talk about it and all that stuff. So check out everything Scally is going on. Check him. Did you say Twitter at Brian_Scally? Because people have no idea how to find you on Twitter. And yeah, that's it. So thank you guys yet again for being with us this week and kind of last week, and we'll be back kind of next week with more coverage. Until then, take care, everybody.